handyman. Yes, I am a handyman. I can fix it up for you like nobody can. I can fix it in the kitchen, I can fix it in the hall, I can fix it in the bedroom. I can do it all, cause I am a handyman. I can fix it up for you like nobody can. Got a problem with your plumbing, I can give it a good flush. Got a problem with your wiring, I can use my magic touch. I am a handyman. I can fix it up for you like nobody can.
With Cadillac Pete Ron on the harp, that's Reverend Raven and his chain-smoking altar boys celebrating their 20th anniversary as a band. That's from their new CD titled My Life, our 20th anniversary. Tonight at the Juke Joint, my featured artist is Curtis Salgado.
I can do it all because I am a handyman. I can fix it up for you like nobody can.
Well, good evening. It's Sunday night. It's 7 minutes past 8 o'clock, and that means it's time for 3 hours of the blues from the Juke Joint. My name is Robert Barclay. As I mentioned a moment ago, my featured artist is Curtis Salgado, a wonderful storyteller and blues man, blues and soul man from Eugene, Oregon. been based for several decades, though, in Portland, Oregon, a blues mecca in the Pacific Northwest. I taped a very cool interview with him, and this is going to be Curtis Salgado Part 1, because I have so much material to share with you along with his stories. We'll hear about his influences and some of his experiences out on the road with Robert Cray, Albert Collins, and Otis Rush. Getting us underway, let's return to the new CD from the Reverend Raven and the Chainsmokin' Altar Boys. It's got to be one of the cooler names for a blues band. They're celebrating 20 years together. They booked their first gig in a Southside Milwaukee club 20 years ago. He said it was freezing cold outside and it was a country bar trying to change it up. The audience hated us and stayed in the bar anyway. That's okay. We had some kinks to work out, to put it nicely. They got paid $300 for their gig and a fish fry each, and their journey to the cheese curd circuit in Wisconsin had begun. Reverend Raven and the Chainsmokin' Altar Boys. This time they've got a harp player, Westside Andy Linderman, and let's turn to a tune titled She's Movin' On.
Something happened to me on a cold, cold November evening, 1975, 839 North Rush Street, Chicago, Illinois, at the Cedar Apartment Hotel. That's where I lived when I was a young bum, a 21. That's a night and a place. The woman I love, ripped the hide out of my 21-year-old chest, threw it to the ground, and stepped on it with the red Ferragamo pumps. As she was leaving me, this is what she said. She said, I'm moving on with my life. She said, I'm moving on richer with my life. A brand new start. Yeah, she left for California to get a brand new start. Well, she left me in Chicago to nurse a broken heart. Thank you.
Aaron Raven and the Chainsmokin' Altar Boys from their new CD, My Life. And Donovan captured the humor in the what they named their record label. They are Reverend Raven, after all, and their label is Nevermore. Little Edgar Allan Poe there. And a very cool release. I like it. Let's turn to another new release. This is from Vance Kelly and his Backstreet Blues Band. They are based in Chicago. In fact, he was born on Chicago's West Side back in 1954, and he just turned 64. Greatly influenced by his father and his uncle. One was a blues musician and the other was a gospel musician. And later on, he got inspired by the work of Muddy Waters and B.B. King. Vance Kelly and the Backstreet Blues Band, I see them on a pretty regular basis at the Chicago Blues Festival in June. Their new CD is from the Austrian label Wolf. How Can I Miss You When You Won't Leave? Let's turn to something titled All About My Life.
It's all about life. When your car breaks down and you can't get the one, that is the blues, dog. When your baby girl is getting married and you got your foot to build, that is the blues. You got to come out to park the dog. A new car, a new house, and put your children in.
I love you, babe. I will
A new CD from Chicago blues man Vance Kelly. He was on vocals and guitar with his band, the Backstreet Blues Band. The CD is called How Can I Miss You When You Won't Leave? And we just heard a tune titled Don't Give My Love Away, and we opened up with All About Life. Robert Barclay is my name, the Duke of Jukes, been in the blues for you on Sunday nights, and I am looking forward to sharing with you my interview with Portland, Oregon-based blues and soul singer Curtis Salgado. He's also a fine harp player, by the way. He just turned 64, and I had the chance to sit down in his hotel room and tape this interview a few years back. And let's jump right into it. I started buying my first rock and roll records in 1964 when I was 14. Right. I had nobody leading the way. I had no older brothers and sisters. They were all younger. My parents were into South Pacific and show tunes, that sort of thing. But I understand you had some pretty hip parents. Tell me about them.
My father is Ellsworth and my mother was Hilda. And when I grew up, my dad was into classical music, and it was the arias. And one of the songs that my dad would play in that vein that I remember so well, it was called Una Furtiva Lagrima, which means a fertile tear. And it's a standard aria, right? It's very beautiful and very haunting. It's the blues. And my father also listened to Jimmy Rushing and Count Basie and Ray Charles. And he was really into piano players like Mady Lux Lewis and Albert Ammons and Pete Johnson, and especially Fats Waller. And Fats Waller was a fantastic stride piano player and a great songwriter, of course. He wrote Your Feet's Too Big, The Joint Is Jumpin', Ain't Misbehavin'. And these were standard staple songs that were around the house every single day. And another big one was the live Carnegie Hall concert, and this is Benny Goodman.
Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's turn to a couple of the artists that his father greatly admired. Here is Albert Ammons, one of the Boogie Woogie Masters, from 1938, or rather 1939, the Boogie Woogie Stomp. And we'll follow this with Pete Johnson on the boogie-style piano.
Thank you.
Sounded like four hands on the piano, but it was just two. The two hands of Albert Ammons on his classic Boogie Woogie Stomp. Albert Ammons, by the way, was the father of the great saxophonist Gene Ammons. Now, interestingly, to me anyway, and perhaps to you, the famous Blue Note jazz record label that's been around for decades was launched by Alfred Lion in 1939, and the first recordings he released on his Blue Note label were Boogie Woogie Masters, Albert Ammons, and Mead Lux Lewis, just so you know. We're listening to music that Curtis Salgado's father pointed his son's ears towards. And let's turn to another of the Boogie Woogie Masters. This is Pete Johnson out of Kansas City and his bartender, singer, Big Joe Turner. 1938, right around the time of the Albert Ammons we just heard, and all three of these artists appeared at John Hammond's From Spirituals to Swing concert at Carnegie Hall. And let's open up with a classic, Roll 'em Pete.
She got eyes like diamonds, teeth shine like lime dyed gold. Got eyes like diamonds, teeth shine like lime dyed gold. Every time she loves me, she sends my mellow soul. You're so beautiful, but you got to die someday. Well, you're so beautiful, but you got to die someday. All I want is little loving, baby, get me for you, by the way. Roll it, boy, let them jump for joy. Yeah, man, happy as a baby boy. Well, there's another brand new choo-choo toy. Baby, now you can miss me somebody else. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, I know. But all right then. But all right then. But all right then. But all right then. But all right then.
Johnson on the boogie-woogie piano, and he really was a bartender, Big Joe Turner. He would sing behind the bar at the speakeasies in Kansas City of the late 1920s, and that's where he and Pete Johnson hooked up, and they carried on their friendship and musical relationship for several decades. And that was titled Roll 'em Pete. And let's return to my conversation with my featured artist at the Juke Joint tonight, Curtis Salgado. He's talking about the music that his father turned him on to.
But there's a special point, and I'll never forget this, in that particular thing. This is to focus on my dad and what kind of a person he was. I'll give you a couple of insights. Besides listening to the classical and the operas and stuff, he would make me pay attention. He'd go, listen to this. and it was just Stacy's solo at the end of Sing, Sing, Sing. It's a jam session. Don't, 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 you know. And then they switch into another song called like Christopher Columbus or something like that. And it's I think it's even written on the back of the liner notes, but Jess Stacy turns the whole groove around, turns the whole feeling and just the whole atmosphere of this song, a Louis Prima tune, right? And in this beautiful piano solo. And my father was the type of person who would go, listen to this, listen, you know. And this piano player, Jess Stacy, just and I was, he pointed it out to me, and I was able to hear it, and I was able to hear how just the entire feeling and context of that tune changed with this guy's, you know, piano solo. Well, having an influence like that, and having your father, who you look up to, change that. Was lucky. I was lucky. And the other thing, my dad was into Jimmy Rushing, of course, and Big Joe, not Big Joe Williams, but which I would be into. My dad was into Joe Williams. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Rushing, Mr. 5x5. Money ain't honey, where can my honey be? If I had my money, my honey would be here with me. I remember that song. Of course, the one album that Count Basie did in 55 with Joe Williams that totally reestablished again Count Basie.
Well, let's turn to Jimmy Rushing on a couple of tunes. He's got Sam Price on the piano here. This is from 1954 for Vanguard Records. As Curtis Delgado said, Jimmy Rushing was known as Mr. 5x5 because he was 5 foot tall and 5 foot wide. Great, great singer. Here he is on something called Boogie Woogie, I May Be Wrong.
Keep her on my mind. comes home in the church and I can't keep her off my mind. Every time I think of her, I just can't keep from crying. Bye, baby, bye-bye. Bye, baby, bye-bye. Bye. Pretty baby, how you want your loving done?
Jimmy Rushing in front of a septet back in 1954. How You Want Your Lovin' Done. And we got things underway with Boogie Woogie, I May Be Wrong, Jimmy Rushing. Now, what is Ray Charles? What did Ray Charles mean to you when you were growing up?
Well, of course, Ray Charles, my father listened to a lot of Ray Charles. So put that in the lineup of all these jazz artists, the Count Basies, the Jimmy Lunsfords, the Benny Goodmans. My dad was into, gospel music. We had a little bit of gospel, and I researched that. And once I heard that, that's a whole other era. You could do a whole radio show on that. That's probably my main influence. Whenever I hear it, I have a lot of it. Anyhow, Ray Charles, of course, and everybody knows this in music history, he did the country western record. But then there was the greatest hits Ray Charles record, too. And that was that blue one, that blue album with the... And then there's Ray Charles Sings the Blues, and that was a big one, too. And those three records were played, I would have to say, just about, every weekend.
Well, let's turn to some Ray Charles. Let's go back to the year 1956. This was a top 10 R&B hit for Brother Ray. And here he is on Hallelujah, I Love Her So.
Comes up, she brings my coffee in my favorite cup. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. When I'm in trouble and I have no friend, I know she'll go with me until the end. Everybody asks me how I know. I smile at them and say she told me so. That's why I know, oh, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. Now if I call her on the telephone and tell her that I'm all alone, by the time I count from one to four, I hear her on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down, when there is nobody else around, she kisses me and she holds me tight and tells me, Daddy, everything's all right. So I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. Now if I call her on the telephone and tell her that I'm all alone, by the time I count from one to four, I hear her on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down, when there is nobody else around, she kisses me and she holds me tight and tells me that everything's all right. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know?
I also remember I was in the Boy Scouts, and I had to do a camping trip. And when I came back from this 2-week, 50-mile hike with the Boy Scouts, that my family is going, wow, you missed Ray Charles. And I was like, oh, God. I was so bummed out because it was like 1962 or 3 or something like that. My family saw Ray Charles and I didn't, and I was really pissed off about that. Yeah, I don't know if you can say that on the radio, but that bummed me out so much. It's like, you guys saw Ray Charles, with the relay, that would be a strong time to see him too.
When I'm child. My pouring tears are running wild. If you don't think you'll be home soon, I guess I'll drive.
Charles in 1956. That shot to number one on the R&B charts in 56, and that was a tune titled Drown in My Own Tears. Prior to that, we heard him on Hallelujah, I Love Her So. Here's another soundbite from Curtis Salgado.
Rolling here again. All right, now, so you got that from your father, but you also had siblings who brought home Elvis 45. So tell me about what that was going on with the kids.
Yeah, my I have an older brother and older sister, and of course they're going to launch themselves into things that are, you know, so my folks are into the jazz, and then when the folk era comes out, it's the Limeliners and the Kingston Trio. And let me just say to your listeners or whatever that in this particular family in Eugene, Oregon, I was raised in an environment that music was probably the centerpiece of the entire family. Sure, it's the everyday dramas and ups and downs of a family, but it's three kids, mom and dad, and music was the staple. I mean, that was probably, I never really argued with my father about anything else but music. So that's the kind of family it was. And my brother and sister, you know, I used to hide in the closet while they were playing, you know, records, because I wasn't allowed in the room. And I used to hide in there and listen to my brother play records. And and of course, they had James and Bob. I remember Bend Over, Shake a Tail Feather. They had the Elvis stuff. But then that, you know, that one. And then my brother discovered Paul Butterfield. And that was, I think Paul Butterfield was a turning point for a lot of people in a lot of, that was it.
Yeah.
And then with this Paul, but my sister started bringing home, remember Siegel Schwal Blues Band.
Oh, yeah.
And it had like a milkshake mixer on the cover of it, you know. I remember that. And also Charlie Musselwhite. Mm-hmm. And then a really deep one was Hoodoo Man Blues. And I was still in high school.
That was all in the same era from about 65 to 69.
Right. And that just changed your life. Mm-hmm. You know, and Paul Butterfield, I remember looking at the cover just going, God, who are these guys? They're so cool. And another thing is I wasn't brought up in an environment where color was an issue, where someone's color of their skin was their issue. I just didn't, but I still was like, wow, these guys are hanging out with each other. And you saw a picture of Sam Lay wearing a muscle t-shirt with painted gold shoes. Remember that on the cover? You know, I mean, you'd stare at the record cover, and you'd stare at it, and you'd turn it over, and you'd read it, and, you know, and I read every word on it, you know.
Well, Curtis and I were kindred spirits. I studied the photographs, I flipped the album covers over, too, and read the liner notes, who wrote which song. Well, let's turn to one of the artists that Curtis's older brother and sister listened to, James and Bobby Purify. I'm Your Puppet by James and Bobby Purify. Now, they weren't brothers. They were cousins. And that was a tune titled I'm Your Puppet, written by Dan Penn and Spooner Oldham. And that was a big hit for them. When I come back after the station ID, we're going to turn to Paul Butterfield, another of Curtis Salgado's favorites. So you be sure to stay near the radio.